kind of a power, let me drop, was it a step-down transformer from a power transmission system, or was it a real diesel generator or a waterfall? What was the prime mover of the energy that you were experiencing? What was the source of energy that was getting to your particular station, John? Go ahead.
Most of it was grid off of Edison. We had a few locations where we had prime movers, which were DC diesel generators. But most of those diesel generators were 13.8, some 4160. We didn't have anything up in the 100 kV on our own generators. But Edison would come in at maybe some cases 35,000 is the main distribution. That's used a lot, like on Staten Island, the main distribution. Then they break it down to 13.8 and then down to 480. Although Edison doesn't do 480, that's up to you. But that's what we were doing, right up the Edison grid.
What's the highest voltage anywhere you know of on the Edison grid in, I guess, New Jersey? Go ahead.
I believe it's 385 right off Staten Island.
And the 385 gets to Staten Island by what? A bridge over one of the rivers? Or is it underground? I'm going to guess it's high voltage wiring above ground that fords the gap of a river. Go ahead.
That's correct, Dick. We have high towers. They call them the high wires, which span the Kilbane Pole on the west side of Staten Island. And that comes over from Jersey into a big switchyard on the western side of Staten Island. And then it's redistributed throughout the island. And also, we have a high voltage line that goes under. It's an oil-filled pipe with cables in it that runs out to JFK.
I think you said 380 kV, which I'm doing a quick calculation on right now. Square root of 2 times that.
Yep.
That tells me it's around 537 volt peak with reference to ground. Are those high towers that go over the kill that you mentioned, were they approximately 250 feet in the air? Go ahead.
I don't believe they were that high. They could have been 200. They might be 200 feet.
You've probably seen that YouTube video where a man on a helicopter gets launched onto these high voltage lines to inspect them and make modifications or whatever. Have you ever seen that, any kind of an action like that in real life?
No, I've seen the power lines worked on. My crew wasn't doing that. But they were always dead. They always shut them down, and we switched over to local generation here. We had an Edison plant on Staten Island at one time that was owned by Edison. Now it's owned by a private company. But I've never seen them worked on live while I was there. Now, in the Midwest, yes, I've seen them worked on live there.
Was there ever a time when anybody had to climb or use a crane or whatever on that 200-foot tower?
Oh, they had to climb several times to replace insulators that exploded, yeah. And I don't know how they cleaned these insulators, whether they used the helicopters or not, but when I saw them working on it, they were doing it manually. They were actually climbing up the tower and then walking out on it with a hanging basket right on the cable.
Now, the high-tension line itself is being suspended by that insulator. To clean the insulator, I can sort of see that if the power is turned off. And boy, that would give me a spooky feeling. If the power really turned off, and is somebody going to turn it on by mistake while I'm there? Now, if I'm going to replace one of those insulators, what kind of crane work takes place to suspend the cable while the insulator is being replaced? Over to you, John.
They have what looks like messenger clips and Chinese fingers that they put on the cable, like a basket, a pulling basket. They use a come along to torque up to the tower to relieve the stress from the insulator. Then they go out and unbolt the insulator and put another one in there. There's a couple of cables supporting it, a couple of come alongs also.
Most of those insulators, each one of the pi sections is good for 20 kilovolts. So 380 divided by 2 is what, 17? Yeah. Were there 17 pi sections to one of those insulators? And do every one of those pies break down? John, go ahead.
Yes, if not clean, they will break down. I believe, I don't know how many insulators, but if I remember correctly, I believe they're around 6 feet long, 7 feet long, and they are heavy. That's all porcelain.
Yeah, I think you're going to discover when you, if you know you've got a 380 line, 380 divided by 2 is what, doesn't come out right. I had 17, 240, not sure. But it's close to 20 kilovolts per pi section. Each one of these are, what, about almost a foot in diameter, roughly, John, and each one has a thickness of 6 inches or so.
I would imagine they're about 8 inches in thickness, and they're approximately 10 inches a foot in diameter, yes.
Okay, C2, QIQ.
Go ahead, Glenn. Have you ever worked on things like this?
I haven't done it personally, but I can tell you that I've worked for a company that made all that stuff, and they make these some of those insulators, Dick, that are, I would say, look bigger than garbage pail covers in diameter. So, I mean, I've seen some of them that were, I wouldn't quite say 3 feet across, but I'd say, better part of 2.5, you know. So, and at least a foot thick. So they make some of these things, and they weigh like probably 100 pounds a piece, and with monstrous steel hooks on either side, because it's really it's not just the distance through the disc that's the insulation characteristic, it's the area around the outside for the creepage. So there's a creepage requirement around the outside, and I believe some of them are actually, I'm trying to remember the voltage ratings, they do make them up to 100 kV per pie piece. And I think the rule there that they use is they double up on the voltage rating on those. So they put twice the breakdown voltage for the number of insulators, Dick. K4IW, KC2QIQ.
That's correct.
And most of the failures maybe is due to salt spray, I'm guessing. If they clean them frequently enough, I guess they last. By the way, in between the individual pie sections, is there any kind of a pivot mechanism, or are they really... one solid mass, so to speak, John?
Some of them have eyelets, which connect with like a S-hook arrangement. Some have through bolts, which don't really go through the whole entire porcelain. They go down to a land that's built into the porcelain with a bolt threads into it. And you just stack them. It looks like a bunch of resistors in series. And they're fairly flexible. So when the wires are moving, I mean, these things have been hit by an airplane and didn't break, so they're tough.
On your 380 kilovolt line, you probably have a phase A, a phase B, and a phase C. If I just talk about the phase A high voltage wire, was it really three wires in a triangular pattern to try to make a phony larger diameter to lower the amount of corona on that particular wire? Over to you, John.
No, they came over as three individual separated phases. They were not wound together.
Okay, but each individual wire for one particular phase, which ends up going to one single insulator, is that wire really one round object, or is it three metallic round objects held together with a Y object all the way along the length? Over to you, John.
I don't understand the question, Dick. There are three individual wires. They're separated by maybe 20 feet.
Is each individual wire, 20 feet separated, each individual wire just one single round object? And if so, what diameter?
Oh, no, it's stranded, Dick. You have the... Most of them have a center core, which could be steel for the support tension. And then you have a basket wrap of copper conductors around the outside, and sometimes several layers. And most of them don't have insulation.
KC2QXQ.
But John, what was the outer diameter of those copper wires?
I would say they were approximately 2 inches.
I'm having trouble believing that 2 inches can support 380 kilovolts without coronary a lot along that whole length. Over to you, Glenn.
Yeah, those long-distance transmission cables, they come in varying sizes depending on where the locations are and what they are. But John is definitely right. They have the steel braid core that's in the center, and the copper is a weave that runs around the outside. And the outer diameter on some of those can get up to, you know, the size of like a coffee can. So, you know, I would say probably like a 5-inch diameter. So with a multi-span wrap around the outside, and depending on some applications, depending on the voltage, I forget what the cutoff voltage is for the insulation, but they do put insulation on some of them up to certain voltage, but then after that, it's, the corona actually destroys any kind of... So I think what they do is they look at the voltage spacing between the wires and the insulators, and then they determine whether they can put the insulation wrap on the outside. But a lot of that, especially in the really large diameters, there's no insulation on them at all. K2RIW, KC2QXQ.
Yeah, the no insulation, I have no trouble with that. And that steel messenger cable you got down the center for strength, and then a copper weave on the outside. When it comes to rope, a rope is made out of individual fine fibers, which get woven together as a strand. The strand gets woven together as a something else, and eventually the whole thing becomes the cable. So cable, strand, filament, and there's something in between that I'm forgetting. In this particular case, the conductor is a basket weave of copper wires on the outside of this thing. It's somewhere between 2 and 5 inches in diameter. Have any of you guys ever seen a particular phase which is more than one wire running in parallel? Quite often three cables running in parallel, held apart with some kind of a Y-shaped holding device every few feet. Have either of you guys ever seen one of those? John first.
Oh, absolutely, Dick. The triangle is used on all the 35 kV distribution in Staten Island, 38.5 kV.
Why is it used on 38 kV but not on 380 kV? That seems backwards. Over to you, John.
It is in some areas, Dick. But this was built many years ago, and they didn't do that at that time. Yes, they do make cantilevered arms. They hang one thread, or one rope, they call it, and on that they suspend it in a triangle fashion, yes.
Now, the word rope, does the word rope consists of three conductors for one particular phase, and is the three conductors called the rope, and each individual conductor is called a strand? What vocabulary is used there, John?
Okay, Dick, in steel, like the Brooklyn Bridge, those are called wire ropes, and that's what they use for the center conductor. A little different, but basically that's it. And then Glenn is right, they have the basket weave, and then sometimes they have a... to me, it looks like maybe it's nylon or could be Teflon over the wire rope, so that as it moves, there's no friction between the copper and the wire rope.
Is the wire rope the outer diameter of the 2-inch diameter thing? Over to you, John.
A negative. That's the inner core. That's the tensile support.
Okay. The copper leads that are wound together as sort of a basket weave, or the spiral. One of those things, what's the outer diameter, and what's it called?
That's the current carrying conductors. And, you know, I'm thinking now, the inner core, the wire had to be much bigger than 2 inches, because the inner core was at least an inch and a half. So now, put a couple of, I believe they were number eight, that were woven into a basket fashion over that fiber core that was on top of the rope. So, yeah, I guess we could be up to 4 inches on that cable diameter.
You said the outer spiraled thing. maybe 8 gauge. Now, copper out in the weather would tarnish and look pretty ugly pretty fast. Most of those current-carrying conductors that I've seen look very silvery, look like they're made out of aluminum. Is there some kind of a magic coating on top of the copper? Over to you, John.
Yes, there is, Dick. Absolutely.
Okay, John first, and over to Glenn. What is the magic coating here, John?
Some of them use a type of zinc, but a lot of them were silver. Actually, silver-plated.
Wow, that's got to be expensive. And in an industrial environment, the silver builds up silver sulfide, whatever it is, and starts turning black. It would look homely. Glenn, what do you think it's coated with?
Yeah, what I'm familiar with, Dick, is the cables that I had seen were basically, like John described in the middle, they had the steel core, but the copper conductor on the outside was really a copper wire with a lead tin on the outside of the wire to protect the wire, and then there was also an enamel coating. And what I was trying to say before about the insulation coats, and you asked a question about the higher voltages, the problem is they can use only the zinc plating, the tin lead platings, at the very, very high voltages, because the enamels and the other insulations at high voltage, the corona just literally eats away the insulation. I think when you get to voltages like 100 kV and above, there's no insulation that would even last on there for like 6 months. They would just literally evaporate. So that's why they don't do that. K2RIW, KC2QIQ.
Dick, Glenn is right. It wasn't silver. It was tin. The silver was only on the end of the terminations.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense. And if the corona is going to eat up the insulation, wouldn't ultraviolet radiation do the same thing, John? Glenn?
Yeah, but that's a much slower effect. And they got materials that really resist the ultraviolet. So for the lower voltages, like when you look at like some of the 13 kV lines in some areas, they put the insulation on there. I think that's more of like a public affairs kind of a thing than it really does much up there. It's really a spacing issue and everything else. And I think also for some of the lower voltages, they also do that separation in the lids. That's basically the way that they wire those enamel coatings and try to separate them to help out some of the corona buildup on the lower ones. I think they found that with the real high voltage stuff, it's really a different ball game. You know, so at that point, none of those tricks really work anymore. It's just a matter of really big spacing and really thick wire and UV will affect some of the coatings, but they do have some improved coatings for the UV. But the corona, nothing gets past corona. I mean, those are very, very high voltages. So there's really no dielectrics that can really go around the outside other than ceramics that just won't evaporate. K2RIW, KC2QIQ.
There are some DC lines running around the United States that are used for power distribution that run on megavolts DC. Well, I think, wait a minute, they call it megavolt, but I think it's two separate wires. One is positive 500 kilovolts to ground, the other one's negative 500 kilovolts to ground. And they try, of course, to always run the plus and minus simultaneously. If they get a failure of one, and they run one with reference to ground, it eats up their ground insulators real fast. So they don't want to do that for very long.
I think that's only in Canada, Dick.
That's correct. That's Canadian Hydro. And DE4MA was involved in that operation. He used to give us some stories about that. And I can just imagine those inverting devices that convert the 500 kilovolts of DC back into 60-cycle AC. They must be, some of those Styrotron-like devices they used to use are described as something as big as a 55-gallon drum, and quite a few of them. The question I was going to ask you next with reference to high voltage. Oh, yeah. Silver-plated on the ends. Is there a great big ground lug swaged onto the end of the thing where it's silver-plated, John? Or is it soldered or welded? What does the actual end look like? Over to you, John.
All right, Dick. At the end of the wire, companies like Amphenol make these. They're beautiful. You just look at them and you know they cost a ton of money. They bolt a plug onto the end of the wire, and it's potted. and then that device plugs into a receiver, which is, it's all porcelain, and it has multi-tines that have a radius. They're displaced in a radial way, and there's a ball on one end, and you, the ball plugs into those tines. The tines are surrounded by springs, and when you push it in, it locks, and then there's a through bolt that goes down to pull it together, and there's some cream and some grease that goes in there, and that's how you terminate the connectors, because the wire comes on a reel, and when you get it, it only has an end to it, and they have a coating of silver that goes on there, and that's how the process is done.
The reel end of the wire, are the individual copper strands gathered into something? You said that something is potted there. I can't believe it's potted with epoxy. What is it potted with? But you really want to pick up the strength of the steel messenger cable in the center, but yet you want to grab electronically onto all of those copper 8-gauge leads that are spiral wrapped. And I'm not quite picturing how that potting and electrical connection makes contact. Over to you, John.
Take it similar to pipe clamps, if you've ever seen them. They're like a semicircle, and they have two holes in it for the bolts. They're huge. They go around the entire structure. They clamp the copper and the steel rope all in one. They pull it into another receiver that's the other half of that semicircle, and there's usually four or five of those on the shoe. And then there's a porcelain insulator that slides down like a PL259 ferrule that seals that in, and that becomes the plug once it's assembled. And all you have on the end of it is the ball connector.
Okay, when it comes to transmission, great big voltages, 380 kilovolts, 125 kilovolts, and whatever, it eventually gets stepped down for local distribution. And I think 13.8 is one of the local distribution popular numbers, and I presume that is a line-to-line number. I'm going to guess that each line-to-ground is like something like 7,800. So is 7,800 line-to-ground one of the most popular distribution voltages that go down the actual street? Over to you, John.
Yes. We have also some 4160 distribution here, which is being abandoned. They're trying to switch everything to a minimum of 13.8 now. But we come in at that voltage. It goes to the switch yard and comes out and is redistributed at usually 35.8. That's the basic, what they call the 460 services on Staten Island, goes to all the major factories, and that's what runs down the major boulevards. And then from there, we have transformers at different locations, of course, to break it down for neighborhoods, streets, and then each factory or industrial site has their own transformer, which they're responsible for. They usually bring 13.8 into a major facility, and then you take it from there.
It's got a major factory that has its own transformer. What's the actual primary voltage on that transformer, John?
Now it's 13.8.
So you could run 13.8 into the primary of a transformer that runs a whole factory that's got a quarter of a million square feet of production area?
Yes, 13.8 is very common. They're also doing the 460 services on the larger factories, which brings in 35.8.
The distribution down the blocks, I think you said, was a 13.8. And the 13.8 number is line to line. But individual pole pig transformers, at least on Long Island, are never connected line to line. They're connected line to ground. So the real voltage that you operate the pole pig transformer at on its primary is something like 7,800. Isn't that true?
That's true, but don't confuse ground with neutral. They're connected to the neutral, not the ground. Neutral and ground are not the same.
Okay. The outer case of the pole pig transformer goes to what looks like a piece of 8-gauge wire that goes down the side of the telephone pole, the utility pole, inside of a half-round wooden thing, and it eventually connects to the butt plate that's at the very bottom of the utility pole before it was installed to the ground.
That's the shoe, yes.
CC3QIQ? Isn't that shoe a ground?
Yes, but that's not neutral.
Isn't that what the case of the pole pig transformer is connected to?
Yes, it is. That has to be grounded. But there's also a neutral on the distribution, on the local distribution that it gets attached to.
Okay. The neutral wire that goes to each house, is that part of the neutral system that's also strung between the utility poles?
Yes, it is.
I know Glenn wants to say something. Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that there's, you know, safety regulations for high voltage and what actually gets distributed and how it gets distributed to factory buildings and residential. And if you look at the UL HIPOT ratings for residential requirements, in case there was a breakdown in the transformer on the telephone pole, you could theoretically get a peak voltage of 4120. That's the HIPOT breakdown voltage for all ratings on power supplies and everything else. So local distribution can't be higher than 4120 peak at any one point in a local distribution line going to a residential neighborhood. As far as the large industrial buildings, on their line, they can do 13.5, but they have to be on a remote transformer either off the outside of the entry of the building, and then they have to be dropped down to the 4120 peak before it enters the building service, where there could be a local transformer inside. K2RW, KC2QIQ. At least that's here on Long Island anyway.
I think 4120 is not enough. The individual wires to earth of the A, B, and C phase in Dix Hills, 7,800 volts, Glenn. Over to you, Glenn.
Okay, so let's say that transformer fails, and you have a HIPOT on your transformer inside your piece of local equipment, and the rating on that for UL is only 4120. What do you think happens?
Okay, that great big brown porcelain insulator, which is the main input connector to the primary of my pole pig transformer, is being fed 7,800. So when you're talking about high pot of 4120, I'm having trouble believing, understanding what that means.
It's for residential requirements. The breakdown voltage of high pot in the transformer is 4120. That's the isolation standard of all transformers. So it's if you're going to test them for UL, that's what they check for. The reason for 4120, where that number comes from, is for residential distribution. The 13.5, if that voltage comes in to, say, a factory floor or something like that, you'd notice on the property there would be a transformer on a concrete base somewhere out external or into, you know, some kind of a safe zone where those wires would basically come in, enter a shielded area at 13.5, and then you can run the 4120, I think, into the facility. But actually, there's no 13.5 lines running into a facility that I know of, unless it's a special room that's you know, blocked off with all kinds of like high voltage lines and things like that, where it's treated very, very separately.
I believe my pole pig transformer has a primary winding of 13.5 or 13.8 is what they call it. No, it's 7,800. Roughly 7,800 volts goes into the main input high voltage connector on the primary of my pole pig transformer.
Is that reference to ground or neutral?
It's reference to the butt plate, the shoe, I guess you call it. The case of the transformer is connected to the shoe. The high voltage connector is connected to phase A, B, or C. And phase A, B, or C is something like 7,800, 7,500 to ground. The secondary of that transformer has my 120 neutral 120, 240 across it, and those three wires come over to my house. What do you believe is the high pot primary to secondary dielectric strength testing of that particular transformer? What do you believe is the primary to secondary high pot voltage testing of my pole pig transformer, Glenn?
That's basically, you know, that 4,200 volts. That's, you know, the 4,250. That's the standard for residential. So that's the peak. So it's actually even less than that. It would be like 3,800 or something like that. So So I'm pretty sure that that's exactly what you have. You know, it's like 3,800 VAC, and that would be line to neutral. And, of course, you know, the three phase, that would be that number times square root of 3, 1.732. So that's residential, as far as I know. The 13 and change, usually that's like one step up. In other words, there might be another transformer somewhere at another part of the distribution that goes from the 13.5, and then before it comes to any household line down a direct street, where that pole-trig transformer shouldn't be more than, you know, like 3,800 volts AC or something in that area. That K2RW, KC2, QIQ.
Yeah, Dick, I believe the 4160, when you go to ground, I think you have 2,400 volts. Now, when you high-pot a transformer, it depends on whether it's new issue, then you double the voltage. If it's an older transformer, then you have to do a different type of test with an older transformer.
I think something's wrong. Line to line is 13,800 volts of the A, B, and C phase going down my street. Each one of those phases is something like, I take square root of 3 of that, I'll divide into it, and it's either 7,500 or 7,800. If the primary voltage to my pole pig transformer is 7,500 at least, and if the primary to secondary insulation is only 4,000 and something, those don't sound like compatible numbers. Over to you, Glenn.
Yeah, I'm not sure where you got the number 13.5 for residential, but I'm pretty sure that's wrong, Dick. I know it's definitely lower than that, because, I mean, even international, we sell, you know, universal input, 88 volts to 264, and none of those voltages are have any isolation in the transformers higher than 4250. That's the UL standard. And the purpose of that is basically, if you were to have the primary breakdown of the transformer on the pole, that the transformer insulation in your product is able to withstand that, so that for, you know, electrical shock hazard. So, you know, everything is based on that number. So, and that's peak. That's done with DC. I think it's 3,800 VAC. So the numbers sound very, very high on your block, Dick. I don't quite think that that's true for residential service. I know that they do that in the industrial power, but then again, usually the 13.5 transformers are remote to the building. So in other words, you'll see these big, monstrous transformers on big concrete blocks outside. They'll run into that, and usually it's an underground feed for those, or if they are, they have to be at a certain height where the like the pole picks up on those things. So, and, you know, except for extremely large factories where they can actually run the 13.5 in direct to the factory buildings, then they have very, very special rooms that are high voltage rooms for only, like, you know, electrician access only.
I got a problem. Twice in the last 5 years, LIPA people were out in front of my house fixing an electrical problem where an automobile had struck a telephone pole and took it out and whatever. Twice I asked them, what is the line-to-line voltage on the phase A, B, and C on top of those utility poles? They told me 13.5. I said, does that mean each one of those wires is 7,800 to earth? They said, yes. I said, does that mean 7,800 is going into my pole pig transformer? They said, yes. The insulator on my pole pig transformer, on that one wire going into it, is about 9 inches long. Over to you, Glenn, K2RIW.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you, what you're saying. I mean, you know, you've asked them, that's what they told you, but I don't think that's what it is, Dick. I think it's less than that. Because all the ratings, I mean, when I work for ADD, I've seen what the residential, usually the cans that sit up on the pole. Those are, you know, those 4,000-volt transformers. You know, they're the round ones that go up on the telephone poles. Those are 4,000-volt transformers. And, you know, they're your basic, you know, 120, 125, and or your, you know, 220 to 240. So that's, you know, typical residential service. Those are 4,000-volt transformers. The 13 kV ones, I mean, even if you go into, like, an industrial building, and you see the service, and you just read the tag on most industrial buildings when you go inside. If you see the transformer there, you're usually seeing like, you know, 3800 to, you know, 208 three phase in industrial buildings, things like that. So, 13 kV's, you won't see that really, I don't think, anywhere other than, you know, very, very specialized rooms. And those rooms are marked like high voltage, where you see a big transformer out of a big concrete block outside the property in big industrial areas. But a residential, I don't think I've ever heard of anything higher than, you know, 3800 there. K4IW, KC2, sorry, Kim.
Again, KC2MDP.
Go ahead, Steve. Do you think I've got 13.5 line to line in Vicksville running down my street? Over to you, Steve.
I would say so, Dick, and the only reason I say this is I've seen plenty of transformers. If you look on the transformers, it says 13.5 written right on the Voltaic transformer. Back to you.
Yep. John, go ahead with your comment on this. Maybe Staten Island is not, maybe you people don't run as high a voltage as we do, but we got some high voltage people here on Dixfield. You got it, John.
Well, Glenn is completely right about the industrial loads. All of those 460 services or anything larger are on the outside. They're constructed in blast-proof compartments with blast-proof walls between the two transformers. There's usually always two because you always want to have backup service for these large factories. Then that is converted usually to 480, and then that goes into the building. And these are services that are 4,000 amps, 8,000 amps, stuff like that. 480.
Steve, let me ask you this question. On my particular pole pig transformer, make a rough guess. How many amperes is the fuse on the primary winding? Over to you, Steve.
To tell you the truth, Dick, I could not wager a guess, but I could find out for you. I can go to the local power authority over in Rockville Center, which is pretty compatible to LIPA, and I can talk one of the guys there and find out all the information. Back to you.
I've looked at the wiring going up and down my street. In some cases, one pole pig transformer is feeding three separate houses. In some cases, it only feeds one single house. One of those houses I've looked at, I know, has got a 200 or 220 amp service. 200 amps at 240 volts is something like 48 kilowatts. 48 kilowatts on the secondary at the primary at 7,800 volts would be 6 amperes. So a 6 ampere primary would just barely supply 48 kilowatts. So if someone told me that's a 10 ampere fuse, I'd sort of believe it. Does it seem like the possibility of the right order of magnitude? What do you think, Steve?
I think it's 100 kVA transformers.
Okay, so therefore it's going to be a 13 ampere fuse. A 13 ampere is really drawn, so it's either a 15 or 20 ampere fuse. What do you think, Steve?
I would say you're not far off, Dick.
We're going to have to dig a little bit deeper on this one. More power to you guys. So I think you and I have been down this road once before, Glenn, where you were kind of amazed at how high the voltage is in Dixfield. The advantage of the higher voltage is you can go a lot longer distance down the block without having to have another, real high voltage transmission system feeding the distribution system. I vaguely remember down on Deer Park Avenue, there's one great big step-down transformer, which I think is stepping things down to 13.5 kilovolts, and I think I've got a half mile or so of wire running down my block with all running 13.5, half mile, three-quarters of a mile, something in that order. Over to you, John, K2RIW, what do you think?
Well, Dick, a lot of the fuses you're going to find for block supplies on Staten Island here are 50, 100 amps. When they go, they sound like a bomb. So, you know, it's a hairy thing. But it is unusual to have that service, 13.8 for residential. Over here, that would be unusual. But it could be because, don't forget, the higher they go in voltage, the smaller the wire. And even though they're using aluminum, they want to save money. So that's the impetus for that.
Hey, Dick, I'm looking at the residential transformers here from ABB. I have the old stats if you're interested on them.
Yeah, fire away.
Yeah, typical line-to-line residential transformers. These are the 100 kVA series, which is typical for average residential. Is a 100 kVA transformer is basically a 5,200 volt line-to-line, 3,000 volt, 3,000 volts line-to-neutral. Y configuration, 100 kVA is the overall rating on the transformer, and that's for all. Basically, it's listed here like residential service for the United States, and even the, as a matter of fact, I'm looking at the ones that even go to Europe for residential. It's the same, basically the same primary rating, although the frequencies are lower. In other words, you have the 50 hertz transformers. They go down to 47 hertz, but basically the same residential voltage. You know, it's for, you know, street housing development. You know, 5,200 primary max. K2RIW KC2QIQ.
With 5,200 primary, would they be testing for 4,000 volts high pot?
Nope, because they're not connected across the 5,200. The 5,200 is the line to line voltage. And as you said earlier before, that they're connected actually from line to neutral across each one particular line. So from line to neutral, that's only 3,000 volts AC, and the high pot voltage for the transformers is the 4,250 DC. Or I think it's 3,300 volts AC.
So give me that line to line again. Did you say 5,100?
It actually shows here 5,200. That's the operational max operational voltage. Because, you know, in other words, there's droop across the line. So the highest voltage, like if you have the if you're near the biggest, let's say you have the 13.5 to 5,200, the first transformer might see 5,200, and of course it gets lower as it goes down the street.
Okay, if it was 5,200 line to line, divide by square root of three, you get exactly 3,002 volts. Line to neutral, RMS, 3,002 volts, line to neutral, RMS, is 4,246 volts peak. If I'm going to hit 46 volts peak, then the high pot voltages you're talking about don't sound like they've got any safety factor to them. Go ahead.
That's the rating, 40 to 4250 for residential transformers. So in other words, if you have a piece of equipment in your television set or in your ham radio or whatever it is, the primary to secondary isolation insulation material inside it has to meet a primary to secondary insulation voltage of 4250 DC.
4250 DC, when the RMS average voltage is going to go to 4246 before you get an overvoltage condition. So as long as a spike comes along or an overvoltage condition occurs, you're going to exceed the high pot number. There's no safety factor in there, Glenn. It doesn't sound right.
Okay, so high line is 136. So if you've got let's say 5,200 line to line, you've got 3,002 line to neutral on the primary. You have 136 on the secondary in your transformer. Most houses are usually operating between 125 and 120. The older transformers in some other areas that might still be around, like the 110 transformers. So you can see that there is some, you know, flexibility there. So in other words, it's using all the worst case numbers, getting up to 4250. And that's for the worst case possible breakdown. That means a total primary to secondary breakdown on the transformer. I mean, you're not going to be worried so much about your equipment at that point. Almost everything else is going to probably fry. KC2QIQ.
If 125 can go to 136 overvoltage, then 4245 becomes 4620. It's negative safety factor there, Glenn.
No, you misunderstood what I said. At 5200 or the 3002, peak primary voltage gives you 136. So in other words, that's 136 volt AC's residential service. So what I'm saying is typically that number is not 300, 3,002 volts on the primary. It's lower than that to give you your 120 or 125.
The 5200 was RMS line to line. Divide by square root of 3, it is 3,002 RMS line to neutral. That's 4246 peak. For normal conditions, overvoltage is going to go to 4620. We got a negative safety factor here in the high part of our transformer, Glenn.
I'll say it again. The voltage is the high. I'm giving you the overvoltage. The overvoltage, the rating on the transformer, is 5200. Okay, in other words, it doesn't operate at 5200. It doesn't operate at 3002. It's probably operating somewhere down like
21.
What I'm saying is, can give you 125. Those are old transformers.
Thank you.